Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. In Acts the 22nd chapter, we find Paul making a defense before some Jews. Now, Paul has been told that he's going to suffer persecution, physical beatings, and things of this nature. For being a robber or a thief? No. For following the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is that Paul has a choice. He can quit, he can give up, he can stop at any time. He is not a robot from God that will just do what God says without doing it of free will, his own choice. You and I have the same type of situation, though it doesn't seem to be as difficult as in this country of America, at least, as Paul was facing. We may realize that the verse says, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Most of our persecution is found in jokes or snickering or, "Oh, you're one of those Bible thumpers." Just words. And of course, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Well, Stephen had stones thrown at him. Paul is about, in this particular chapter of Acts, to be readied for scourging, because the people who were about to do it did not recognize that in addition to him being of Jewish nationality, he was born a Roman citizen. Therefore, he was entitled to all of the things that a Roman citizen would be entitled to, up to and including being heard in some type of court before a decision being made to just scourge him for the fact that he was a Jew or of another nationality. Paul stood up and said, "Brethren, mine fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way," referring to the gospel way, Christianity in its early days. "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison. As also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify, from them I also received letters to the brethren, and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened, as I was on my way approaching Damascus, about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' He said unto me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Get up and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. For since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those that were with me, and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and said near, came and standing near to me, said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very time I looked up at him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from His mouth. This is referring to hearing the voice of Jesus, to being an eyewitness of His resurrection, to see the righteous one, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, and to hear words that were uttered by Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in Acts 22:15, "For you will be a witness for Him," that is Jesus, "to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Here is an account relative to the experience that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, received beginning on the road to Damascus, and he recounts this before these Jews that were there on this occasion. He was told by the man of God, Ananias, to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. First of all, let's notice that he was not to be baptized only. No, it requires that we need to believe on Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Saul of Tarsus did not believe Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God, when he stood by and held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. Oh, Stephen had become a Christian, but Paul was in opposition. And Paul went on to say in this particular discourse, in chapter 22 of Acts, that he, Paul, had received letters to go and persecute those that were of the way, or this way, capitalized W, lowercase a-y, speaking of the way of Christ. But when the bright light shone, and when Saul of Tarsus heard the voice from heaven, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus whom you persecutest," Saul of Tarsus, Paul, knew exactly that he needed to confess that Jesus was the Christ. And he wanted to know what he needed to do, and he was told to go into the city. And Ananias, the man of God that was sent to him, said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." That's not all he said. But let's look to Acts around chapter 9, and then look to Acts, the 22nd chapter, and then look again in a further, later chapter in the book of Acts when Paul recounts his conversion again. We'll try to get to that, Lord willing, this week as we continue to study these good things. Opportunities to please God. Saul of Tarsus could have said, "Nope, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give up my place among the Jews. I'm going to have to become dishonest now because I know that Jesus is the Christ and I'm persecuting, but I'm going to hold fast to what I've been doing, and that's where I'm going to camp because I've got a reputation to uphold. What would people think if I did a 180 and started believing and teaching?" Believing is one thing, but practicing and actually teaching for the other side that I have been persecuting, even unto the death, putting them in prison? Now I'm going to call these my brethren? They'll never accept me. Look at what I've done in the past. See, we often are faced with that temptation when we're ready to obey the gospel and become a Christian and be born again. We're starting to get ourselves right, and we have a penitent heart, and we've done an about face, and we're in the process now, the new birth, and we've heard the word of God, and we are willing to repent of our sins, but we're wondering about, will we be received? The devil can tempt us in that way in order to try to get us to slow down. Well, wait a minute. Think about it. Take another week. Don't respond to the gospel today. After all, are these people even going to love you? How could they love you? You may have had part in killing some of their kinfolk. You will spiritually. You've already hurt brothers and sisters in Christ. They're going to know about you. You're no secret. No, that was not the will. The will of Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, was to do what God said do at all cost, even if it caused him to be persecuted. And I'm talking about a persecution much greater than mere words. It happened, verse 17 of Acts 22, "When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me. Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by, approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. They listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging, so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. You see, these Jews didn't ever like to hear the term Gentiles be mentioned, much less an inference, as Paul is giving here, much, much more than an inference, a statement that God was telling him to go and turn from Jews in temples and synagogues and go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Oh, what a ruckus. What an uproar the gospel can cause at times. Verse 25 says, but when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. The commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. The commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen. Therefore, those who were about to examine him, that is, examine him by scourging, immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had put him in chains. But on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priest and all the council to assemble, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Paul is going to come before the council now and get to explain himself. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was, in part, to be a person of Roman citizenship. This protected Paul for pretty much the remainder of his life. Not from all persecution, not from all suffering, not from shipwreck. But it allowed him to move about a little bit more until he finally got to Rome. And he would be under house arrest in Rome. But he was able to do much teaching before his departure from this life. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we want to look again and pick up at Acts the 23rd chapter. We want to remind you that it is our effort to please God. If we are pleasing God, we're doing what He said do, both in instruction as given in the New Covenant, the New Testament, the Gospel of Christ, the Doctrine of Christ. They're all synonyms. The Law of Christ, Galatians 6, Verses 1 and 2. Yes, the law of Christ. There can be no sin without law. People who tell you, no, we're not under law today. Yes, we are under the law of Christ, but we're not under the old law. Let's get our law straight here. We need to be careful lest we believe a doctrine that is unsound and untrue. I want to thank you so much for listening to the programs, and please tune back in Monday through Friday at the same time. Please remember the website, the teaching website at markjward.com. You can scroll down to the questions section and you can put questions or comments there. And then you can go on and go back to the Antique Radio, click or tap on it. You can get to the past episodes of this program, listen to them again, or study the ones that you've missed. Thank you and have a pleasant day.